perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. So give me a call at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. So I invite you to call. Let me know what is disturbing your peace and how I can help you today. The number again is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. So I hope you guys all had a great weekend, and except for your problems, of course. So let me know what's disturbing your peace. My background is in family life education. I have a family. I'm from a family. I know a lot of families, and I know a lot of family problems. So whatever might be bothering you in your family, or maybe it's not even a family problem, maybe it's a personal problem, maybe it's a problem in your neighborhood or school, I'd be happy to help you in any way that I can as we utilize those gifts of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. In this year of faith now that the Holy Father has declared, the year of faith, so what are we doing right now to help our faith grow? And we need to do that. Sometimes we just don't trust God enough when it comes to our personal problems. So when we do put God first and really believe in Him and trust in Him, we can see our problems in a new light. So let's look at our problems today in light of faith, hope, and love, and I'll help you through that. Give me a call at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. I'm also the author of two sets of workbooks on chastity and abstinence, Love and Life, a Christian Sexual Morality Guide for Teens, and Sex Respect, the Option of True Sexual Freedom, and then the new Growing Up programs, both for 5th and 6th graders, the Strong, Smart, and Pure for boys, and Truth, Beauty, and Life for girls, where the parent and the preteen together get a chance to watch a little part of a video and have that conversation with each other to learn about what changes are going on in their body and how to respond to those changes in a holy and good and virtuous way. You can get more information about those at my website at sexrespect.com or respectincorporated.com. Also there you'll find a flyer on one of my upcoming speaking engagements. Just a couple weeks from now, I'll be speaking in Ohio. In Powell, Ohio. I think it's in the Columbus area because I believe that's where I'm flying into. So anybody in the Ohio area that would like to hear a talk called Faith Lift, it's for ladies. It's a brunch and an auction. So and bring your friends who need a faith lift. And we'll chat in this brunch and auction called Among All Women. So you can go to my website at sexrespect.com or respectincorporated.com, and on the top, there's a flyer there you can click on and find out how to get tickets for Among All Women with my Faith Lift talk on October 27th, that Saturday for in the morning. So I'm looking forward to that and seeing many of you there, all of you Ohio, or you can drive to Ohio. And I believe that evening I'm going to be speaking at a parish, giving one of my talks, my educational chastity talks for parents raising love-wise kids in a lustful world. I'll give you more information about that later because I don't have it with me right now. So I invite you to call now with your question or personal problem at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. I wanted to offer you some bits of wisdom from St. Teresa of Avila. She's the saint of the day. Today is her feast day, the saint that helped reform the Carmelite order and became a doctor of the church. So I was trying to read, I was reading part of her poem this morning, In the Hands of God. That makes a beautiful meditation about surrendering our lives to God and what God does with us. But I also found for you the top 10 quotes from St. Teresa of Avila, who's a saint and doctor of the church, and see if any one of these 10 might help you today, or maybe this whole month, or maybe just one a month. And you can find these, I'm sure, doing a web search on the internet, the top 10 quotes from St. Teresa of Avila. She said, number one, patience attains all that it strives for. He who has God finds he lacks nothing. God alone suffices. Okay. But if you're impatient, give me a call at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and I'll help you along with that. The second of the top 10 quotes from St. Teresa of Avila, it is love alone that gives worth to all things. Think about that. It is love alone that gives worth to all things. So all that stuff, all that time doing other things is not worthy unless it is done with love, for love, out of love. Love alone gives worth to all things. Number three of the top 10 quotes from St. Teresa of Avila. Accustom yourself continually to make many acts of love, for they enkindle and melt the soul. Now, she probably means our soul as well as other people's soul. So accustom yourself to continually make many acts of love. Just think of all the little acts of love you could perform today for people in your family or your neighborhood or at work. Make many acts of love, for they enkindle and melt the soul. You know, and I've suggested that often, you know, that when someone is being selfish or concerned about their inability to give or maybe just depressed, giving to others, making many acts of love help melt our own souls as well as others. They also bring mercy, the thoughts and feelings of mercy to others toward us. Number four of the top 10 quotes of St. Teresa of Avila. Pain is never permanent. I like that. Pain is never permanent. And what will we do to get out of pain? Sometimes people will sin to get out of pain. And I guess that quote helps us. Even if you're just sick. Like last night I had the stomach flu and I was in a lot of pain. But I knew that I would not be in that pain forever. But I did have that thought of, oh my goodness, people that are in this kind of pain forever, how horrible it must be. So I was offering up my pain for them. But that's a beautiful quote from the top 10 quotes of St. Teresa of Avila. Pain is never permanent, because we always hope for heaven. Okay, number five, to have courage for whatever comes in life. Everything lies in that. Number six, what great favor God does to those he places in the company of good people. It is a favor. It's a blessing to know so many good people. Number seven of the top 10 quotes from St. Teresa of Avila, today's saint. More tears are shed over answered prayers than unanswered ones. St. Teresa of Avila said, more tears are shed over answered prayers than unanswered ones. I can think of two answered prayers I had that later I said, God, sorry I asked for that. Because that was true for me. More tears are shed over answered prayers than unanswered ones. Because sometimes you forget the unanswered ones and you think, you know, maybe for a while you're praying for it, you think that's the most important. Okay, number eight of top 10 quotes of St. Teresa of Avila. It is true that we cannot be free from sin, but at least let our sins not be always the same. So I contemplated that this morning as well. Any of those repeat sins that we should write down, look at it, put it in our face every morning, and promise God we really are serious about not committing that sin again today. Why are we going back into the confessional with the same sins over and over? Well, we got to take this a little more seriously. So St. Teresa of Avila says, it is true that we cannot be free from sin, but at least our sins not be always the same. We might have those same tendencies, but we need to get rid of sin. Number nine, said of God by St. Teresa of Avila, and I use this one more often. If this is the way you treat your friends, it is no wonder you have so few. All of you that are suffering today know that St. Teresa of Avila suffered as well. And she finally said to God, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them. She obviously had to be very good friends with them to be able to speak to God that way. And number 10 of the top 10 quotes of St. Teresa of Avila today on her feast, let nothing disturb thee, nothing affright thee. All things are passing. God never changes. So God is always good. So don't let things disturb you or make you frightened, because it will pass. But if you're frightened or disturbed today, Let me offer you some comfort. If you need some comfort, some understanding, or maybe the next step to take to dig yourself out of this hole that you're in, give me a call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on The Doctor Is In, here to help you today with your personal problems. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. And we'll be back right after this message.
All the advice, none of the bills. Come in. The doctor is in.
Hey, I kind of like this music, though. Welcome to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. Yeah, that wasn't a mistake, Andrew. I kind of like that music. I used to play classical piano for 8 years, so I felt fine hearing it. It's just different for us. Okay, I've got your calls, and there's still two lines open because a couple people hung up already. Sorry, I started the call and couldn't finish it, but 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. Our first caller today is Carrie. Welcome to the show, Carrie. From an anonymous location, probably one of our more popular radio cities. How can I help you today, Carrie?
Hi, Colleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Maybe it's because I look at things in a cut and dried manner. I've always been kind of practical, independent, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading the Bible and the Catechism, and I'm having trouble it's like when I'm reading the Bible, that's all I want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to apply it to when I'm being practical, taking care of everyday things.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how to... I mean, when I'm focusing on what I'm doing, I'm not always focusing on God.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm not sure how to make that happen.
Yeah.
It's not up to me, I guess, in a way. But, I mean, still, it's my choice to... I don't understand.
Okay. No, you already cracked into some wisdom right there already, Carrie, when you said it's not up to you, it is up to God. But in order for God to help us, we need to be open to that. So in your morning prayer, you might ask him to help you, to assist you in living this life that you're reading about and wanting and knowing about. And I might suggest something else, too, that might be helpful to you. And if you have time to study and read the Bible, you might have time to listen as well to some of these practical applications. One of my girlfriends just bought me Fulton Sheen's Life is Worth Living CDs. And you can also get it on DVD. I think you can see the TV shows themselves. And Archbishop Fulton Sheen is so amazing in the way that he can apply all of these Catholic principles, the Catechism, the Bible, and everything to very concrete situations in our daily lives. And that might help you bridge that gap of reading the Bible itself and then how to interpret it. Now, when you are reading the Bible and studying and listening to the Gospels or meditating on the Gospel each day, again, like you said, this is up to God. You ask him, say that prayer to the Holy Spirit beforehand and ask God to show you of these things that you're reading today. You know, just say, Lord, hit me in the head. You know, show me the log in my eye. Show me what you want me to see, because sometimes we can just treat it almost as an academic exercise. We can look, okay, now I read my Bible, check. Now I read my Catechism today, check, because you're a systematic person, it sounds like, Carrie. And so when you see that as an assignment, like, now I did my duty, but then how do we do this out of love, do this for love, you know, do this with love? And so that's what you want to do, is to be able to, you know, implement this faith in a way that you become love. You become that love of Christ to other people through these actions that you're, or these good deeds, and, you know, through all these studies that you make. So open your heart to God ask him to transform your heart so you can become like the scriptures that you read, can become like him. And when you do read the scriptures, look at Jesus and how he treats people, or look at his personality. Look at, you know, like quite often when he'll approach someone, you know, you can say Jesus, they'll say in the gospel, like, Jesus loved her. Jesus looked at her. Jesus saw her. You know, the way that he would approach people was truly to see their hearts, to look at them with love. And that will help us become more like Christ. So continue to read that Bible. Continue to read the catechism. Ask God to show you how to apply that. And then maybe listen to Archbishop Fulton Sheen's tapes, Life is Worth Living. They're old, but they're available. And they're redone even on, you know, CDs and DVDs now. And he'll help you make that leap of application. I hope that helps you today, Carrie. Thanks for the call.
All right.
This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. If you got a busy signal before, we've had a few people hang up already. So maybe it was busy and wow, it's open now. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show very soon. Our next caller is Maria from California. Welcome to the show, Maria. How can I help you today?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm in a dilemma where I'm struggling spiritually and emotionally. I have a son who is lost. Everyone tells me I'm in denial, that he's in drugs. I know that he's struggling. He has very little income. My question is, they're saying cut him off completely. Don't talk to him. Don't say anything. And me, I can't refuse him food. When he tells me I'm hungry, I have to give him food. I take it as an opportunity to talk to him and kind of tell him, you know, you got to change your ways. He's never been disrespectful or violent with me, but everyone says that he could be, and everyone is telling me just to cut him off completely. But he's my son. I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, Maria, people are suggesting that you cut him off for the tough love purposes, and but I do agree with you about feeding him. That, you know, you should not be providing for someone who is using their money for drugs, using their time for drugs, that is addicted to drugs. And what might help you with that is to go to a Narc Anon or Al Anon meeting for those friends and family of people who are alcoholics or drug addicts. If there's a Narc Anon in your area, that would help you. But the in terms of him being lost, does he live with you or just come by when he's hungry? How is this?
Well, my husband refuses to have him anywhere near the house, so he's not welcome there. So he doesn't come to the house anymore. He has, because he lost his job a couple of years ago, he has unemployment, and it'll end at the end of this year. Because of that unemployment, he's able to rent a room, so I know he has a place to sleep. Mm-hmm. But the people that keep giving me advice never talk to him, never see him, never have any interaction with him, and I go, well, how can you be certain? And it's not that I want to not accept or be in denial. It's just that I get so emotionally involved. I don't know if I'm seeing what I'm supposed to be seeing, and I just feel kind of alone because my husband refuses to talk about this subject. According to my husband, it's my son, not his.
Ooh, he's denied his son.
Yeah, he wants nothing to do with him. And I think my other three sons are following in the same direction, mm-hmm. even though they don't have any interaction. Like, well, how can you be certain that that's where he's at if you don't even have any contact with him at all? And I go, the contact that I have is that he's has very little or anything to eat. I know his ways are not good, but he's respectful. He just tells me, I want to change. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. He's asked several times to come home, but my husband won't have it.
Okay, and what are you doing to help him out of this, though? If he is taking drugs and your relatives are saying you're denying the state, the situation that he's in, first, how is he getting the drugs with his unemployment money? Or, you know,
and that,
And what can you do to help him get out of this rut rather than comfort him while he's in it? I think that's the difference in what your family's trying to do in those saying, you know, leave him alone. Because a lot of times people who are drug addicts and alcoholics have to hit rock bottom and be at a loss until they see that there is a need. So some things that you can do for him, one, you should be praying like St. Monica, those tears of St. Monica, praying and praying for St. Augustine, who was a wayward son and lost. It took her 14 years of praying before God did answer her prayers, but her son became a great doctor of the church. So praying to St. Monica for her intercession. And if she's in heaven nagging God and her prayers worked, you should have a daily devotion to St. Monica for your son. And then look and examine the way that you're treating your son. If your husband and your other kids are saying you're enabling him, which is a problem for people who have drugs and denying that he has that problem, then that is you're assisting the problem that he has. What you need to do when you offer him food is offer him not just food for the day, but the help out of his situation. Help him, you know, make a plan to get some work instead of just being on unemployment if that's going to end, or develop, you know, his own business. Give him some encouragement, or take him to the library where he can find that out, or encourage him to take some classes at the junior college to help him get the skills that he needs. And then, of course, if you can take him to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting or a Narcotics Anonymous meeting where he can get the help that he needs instead of denying that and just feeding him. I think what your family's trying to say to you is he needs more help than just food right now. He needs to take a little ladder or stairway out of the hole that he has dug himself and get him out of that situation. So look at that, praying for his conversion, praying that he will see his ways and that the Lord will show you how you can help him the most to help him get out of the situation. And I think that's what your family would be more supportive of, that idea, than just feeding him and keeping him in that same situation. Wouldn't you think, Maria?
Yes, I agree. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you. Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. It's a heartache for a mother to have a wayward son in that way. Those of you that listen regularly know that I have a brother who's a drug addict and often homeless and moves from city to city. And many times we don't know where he is. We've all tried taking him in at different times, getting him on his feet. He's been in rehab many, many times and finds himself back out when he gets sober. And I understand the heartache that my mother goes through because of my brother. So do what you can to help him out of the situation, even with the heart of that mother. And all of us should pray to St. Monica for all of those wayward sons in the world. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. So give us a call. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK to get on today with your question or personal problem. Okay, let's see. Let's hang on a minute for Priscilla. She called, but we're going to have music any second here for our break. But Priscilla has a comment about the top 10 list I read at the beginning of the show. There's plenty of lines open waiting to hear from you at 877-5-PEP-TALK. Talk to you in a moment. Welcome back to The Doctor Is In. You can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. So give me a call at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and then stay on the line. I know it takes a little patience, and we talked about patience, one of the top 10 quotes from St. Teresa of Avila. Patient attains all that it strives for. He who has God finds he lacks nothing. God alone suffices. So, because we had three or four people already hung up. And Priscilla, we said we were going to talk to after the break. She had to hang up too. So, Priscilla, call back. We'd be happy to hear your comment. But for now, who is on the line is Elaine from Virginia. Welcome to the show, Elaine. How can I help you today?
Well, thank you. Good afternoon. I listen to your show as frequently as I can. We have a 14-year-old grandson who's being raised by his single mom, who's not remarried. The father is remarried, was never Catholic, and goes to a evangelical church. The grandson is 14 years old. He's a very good kid. He goes to Catholic school. He's an altar server. He's been going to Catholic school since kindergarten. And the new wife of, really, she's been a new wife, a wife of his for more than 3 years now, I believe. She was very friendly with our grandson initially, and now it seems like she's always trying to cause problems between the grandson and his father, her husband, and myself, or the grandson's mother. And she asks questions, personal questions about us and what we do that has nothing to do with the time he's with his dad.
She asks him that question?
Yeah, the grandson who's 14. And, of course, he tries to, initially she would question him about his faith in a negative way, like asking him questions that were not Christian questions. I mean, they were Christian questions, but if she was really a Christian, she wouldn't be attacking him on his faith issues, you know, praying the rosary and that sort of thing. And so we did contact the other grandparents because this is their only grandchild, the grandparents of their son, and in a nice way said that, you know, that he was being accused of things occasionally by her, and he didn't want to go see his dad anymore because of this, his new wife. And we did contact the grandparents and said that we would hope that maybe they could talk to their son and let her know how valuable this time is that he spends with his son every other week for just a few hours. He doesn't spend the night there because she has brought her adult son from Peru, who has taken the other bedroom that our grandson used to have when he stayed with his dad. So he doesn't spend the night there any longer. And we just don't want to impact my husband and I. We have him most of the time because he's here after school, or we pick him up after school until his mother gets home from work. How do we address this with him without, you know, in a Christian way, but yet caution him to protect himself from this lady?
Yeah, that's a good question, Elaine. Well, thank you for caring enough about your grandson to take care of him so often and to be concerned about his mental and spiritual welfare, it sounds
like.
So I think educating him on our faith and the commandments will help strengthen him. And 14 is a good age because kids love to argue at 14 in general. It's coming up upon a time, these ages 14, 15, and 16, where they need to learn a lot more about how to live their faith and what their faith means in order to defend it. So you want him strong on the inside, but not strong so that he's always responding to the arguments or getting in arguments. You just want him to know the answers inside his head so he knows enough to kindly say, oh, that really wasn't a good question. Can we talk about something else?
Oh, that's a good idea, right.
So you want him in his head, giving him the knowledge that he needs in his mind will help him have the confidence to do that. For example, if you studied, you know, what modesty really is, modesty of words and thoughts, as well as the eighth commandment of people being honest and not gossiping. And he knew that it was wrong to talk about other people like you, or that it was actually too nosy for them to, for her to ask him personal questions. If he knew that in his head by studying the catechism and studying the Word of God, I know in many, many of the letters from St. Paul and St. James, there are many things about, you know, the tongue and about the, you know, the worthy person and noble speech. And if you could work with him on that and studying up, that would strengthen him inside. So when they asked him, you know, anything derogatory about other people, he would know that that's out of line. So he would already have that sensitivity of conscience to see that's out of line. And he'd say, oh, come on, you know, you shouldn't be talking about that right now. And so I'm not going to answer that because, you know, he doesn't have to say why, but he can, you know, like not flippantly, but just very casually, like he has to rise and be the magnanimous, loving person, okay. Be more like Jesus Christ than them by stopping that conversation. And it'll help him throughout his life. And then about her condescension to the faith, some things that would help him there would be some of the things at Catholic Answers at Catholic.com, like how to respond. There are many, you know, blogs and question and answer sessions there, as well as on the EWTN website. There are plenty of questions and answers there that might come up, whether that evangelicals don't really understand about the Catholic faith. And if he was strengthened with those, or get that beginning apologetic series, that's a workbook style series that eighth graders can understand very easily. My kids in the school they went to took it in eighth grade as part of their religion class with the catechism. And that way, when he hears questions that put his faith down, it doesn't take him off guard. He's prepared to say something like, oh my goodness, well, I've known that for a long time, that the, you know, the rosary is a way of counting our prayers and meditating on the life of Christ and drawing the intercession of Mary, who is the mother of God, and I know Jesus is going to obey her. So maybe you just don't understand the rosary enough yet. And you know, so he can, inside of himself, know that there's an answer, whether or not he has to argue with her is a way separate issue, but he knows in himself, he has the confidence to know his faith, and he has the confidence to respond by not being taken off guard by those comments. And so then the third thing I want to suggest is that help him see this is a spiritual battle. Whenever there's a divorce, we know who loves divorce, and that's Satan. And she's not Satan, but the devil, working through anybody, can try to create division. And God knows that the relationship between a son and his father during those teenage years is so important and so crucial. And actually be grateful that he can only be with them a few hours if that's the environment that he'd be in if he had to spend the night. And so if he could be strengthened to know that, you know, to pray to St. Michael the Archangel and try to benefit from being with his dad, all of that would be helpful to him. So thank you so much for the call. We'll be back with more of The Doctor Is In after this message. Welcome back to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. So give me a call and try to stay on the line, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we've had three more people hang up, so there are plenty of lines open waiting to hear from you. And you know now it's less than a 20-minute wait, so give us a call at 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller that has waited patiently is Diane from Colorado. Welcome to the show, Diane. How can I help you today?
Thank you. I tried to explain to him. We have two adoptive children. We've had them for going on 12 years, 10 and... one's going to be 13, he's 12 in middle school.
Okay, 10 so and 12 the problem, there, right, Diane?
Yeah.
10 and 12.
They were in foster care together, and the mom withdrew from drugs and alcohol, but they're smart children. They're just have some stress issues, I think. Mm-hmm. The older one was abused in foster care for sure and left, and then mom left him in the crib without being bottle fed, and she'd be, you know, out of it. So, a minute, I'm going to close the door. And then we got him, and we didn't realize that he was sexually abused by the foster care mom and children there. So she never got him home. So by the time he was 3 and a half, he didn't really know what love was. So we've been working on this whole thing. He's doing really well with the sexual part. But, you know, he goes to youth group, and we're Catholic. He's an altar server. But he's right now he's stealing a lot. He lies a lot.
not stealing a lot, but it just happens. Mm-hmm. You know, within a month ago, he stole our spiritual father's priest's cell phone from Fort Collins when we were on a retreat there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if a friend of his put pornography on his Facebook, but when my son pulled up his Facebook on the phone and I took the phone, pornography just popped up. And I was gosh, I'm on the way to Fort Collins with my son in the car trying to return this, and I'm stopping and I'm like, oh my gosh. So he didn't really want to talk to his spiritual father, but he finally did. And he said, you really need some help. I know your parents are getting you help, which we do. Mm-hmm. We have him with a psychiatrist and a private psychologist who's really good and respects, he's Catholic. He respects our religion. He's not listed in the book. Mm-hmm. But luckily at Community Reach, we got a Catholic one.
Oh, good.
He's really good. He understands these kids. And then we have a street team coming into the house because it's been hard for my husband and I, you know, with both kids, because the younger one has special needs. So, there's copycatting with the younger one. Of course, if social services would have told us that he was abused, they would have separated the kids. You never put a kid that's been that abused with another kid. Oh, yeah, you can't do it. I mean, it's very difficult.
So what's the issue now, Diane? How can I help you?
Don't know. I'm trying to get him to go to the sacraments.
Okay.
He hasn't really been to confession. He's afraid to go to our priest, I think. He would go to our spiritual father. Mm-hmm. But it's tough to get him there. You can't just pick him up and put him in the car. You know what I mean?
Right. He's a big boy. Okay. Well, so you're saying, I would agree with you that he does need a good confession. It's very important that you continue, you know, the psychiatrist and the psychological counseling. Those are very important to help him with his background, as you've described. But I think just as important to those, and probably more important, is to get him to regular confession, because this is where we experience the healing. You know, the psychologist can do treatment, and that is all wonderful, and God is the one who heals, and God can heal it. Even if you took him to a healing service for people who are sick, there is some mental sickness there left over from his past and his beginnings. And so the sacrament of the sick could help him through some of this healing, and then educate him on the mercy of God. The reason that we're all afraid to go to confession is because of our own pride. And we realize that when we confess our sins, it's the opposite of confessing in court. You confess in court and you're, you know, given a guilty sentence. You confess to God and he frees you. And so if he could see that the opposite occurs when you confess to God, if he knows that the sins are erased, you're healed of those, that God fills you with grace, washes off your sins. And that's what I think your son probably needs next. He needs that grace, that healing to carry on, because otherwise he'll be, you know, torn within himself with the difficulties that he's having, with the background that he's had. So continue that counseling, that psychiatrist, all that help, but add to that a regular education on mercy till he's going to confession regularly each week, because let him know that he can be happier than he is. Right now he's sneaking around, he's burying these things, he's trying to hide them, but God wants him to be freed, God wants him to be joyful, God wants him to be happy. God wants him to be honest and not stealing and doing these other weird things. So that sacrament of the sick, of the healing there would be helpful. And the regular sacrament of reconciliation would help him, so that when he does go to Mass and Communion, that he will receive the grace that he deserves with that openness to God that he has, rather than this guilt that he's carrying around with him from his other behaviors. So I think that spiritual healing is going to make the difference for him and for you and for the whole family, Diane.
Yeah, I agree with that. My husband does too. We just need to get ourselves there. Yeah.
Exactly.
So he's coming tonight, our spiritual father, to our church.
Okay,
so we
wonderful.
Need to just go there.
Right, exactly.
I hope I can get him in the car, so say a prayer that we can, you know.
Okay, we will do that.
Thank you for your help.
Okay, thanks for the call, Diane. God bless you. Goodbye. Yeah, and it's getting a teenager in the car. It takes some convincing if they're afraid. But again, that humility, that education on mercy, that understanding of being freed rather than convicted when we confess our sins certainly can help us with that. Well, this is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877 877-5-PEP-TALK, 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. Actually, we have RJ and Tanya. I hope they stay on the line. We'll talk to both you guys right after this message.
You're listening to The Doctor. Come in. Pull up a couch. Let's talk. The Doctor is in.
Welcome back to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. If you give me a call at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. Our next caller is RJ from California. He had a comment about the St. Teresa of Avila prayer earlier in the show. You're on the air now, RJ.
Oh, yes, I did. Thank you for taking my call. I suffered from drug addiction and alcoholism for about 25 years, and I'm 29 years sober now. But it was the Life Serene prayer by St. Teresa of Avila. That's what I found it 29 years ago. It was called the Life Serene prayer, and I still have a little copy of it in my book.
And I
brought it out when you were talking about it, and that really helped me a lot to stay clean and sober. First of all, I was a lost soul when I came in, and that gave me peace of mind, that prayer. So that's a big help for anybody that suffers from drug addiction and alcoholism. I think St. Teresa of Avila must have thought of that before she wrote that prayer.
Oh, my.
But it's just like, you know, the serenity prayer that we use in sobriety. That's the prayer of alcoholics and drug-addicted people, the serenity prayer. That's the main prayer. But there's another prayer, too, by Mother Teresa. Her business card says, "The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace." And that's she calls that her business card. So I put those two in my book 29 years ago.
Oh, my.
And I've been saying them off and on ever since. But the first 4 or 5 years, the Life Serene prayer that you said today from St. Teresa of Avila was my main prayer in the morning.
Beautiful.
Every day.
Well, thank you very much.
I have some advice for that lady.
Okay.
There's nothing that can be done about. I have 8 children, and I have 3 of them that are addicted. There's nothing you can really do about them. You can give them food, you can give them shelter when it's possible, and you can clothe them. But there's nothing you can do about their addiction until they're ready to do something about that
exactly.
themselves.
Exactly, you're right. Well, thank you, RJ, and we'll pray for your children as well. Thank you so much for the call. God bless you. Bye-bye. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Our next caller is Tanya from Indiana. Welcome to the show, Tanya. How can I help you today?
Hi. My children both attend public schools, and with the upcoming holiday of Halloween, we're having an issue with the school system. I'm very... well aware that, you know, Halloween started as a All Souls Day and All Saints Day, and we look forward to celebrating that. But our family has always believed that the secular way that the world celebrates Halloween is evil, and, you know, it's bloody and it's witches and demons, and that we don't think scary is funny, because unfortunately in the world those things are a reality for some people.
Yes, you're right.
And so our school, for the second time this year, has... celebrated School Spirit Week. The first time was Monster Zombie Day. We let the school know that was against our religious beliefs, and they allowed our children to have an excused absence this year.
Okay.
Well, in a couple weeks, they're celebrating Say Boo to Whatever Cancer Day, a dress-up day. And we're really concerned. We're going to stand up, but if it becomes that they're not going to give us an excused absence, our children... who are in National Honor Society, their grades will lower because they won't be able to they won't be able to make up any work for that day.
Oh,
so we want to stand up for what we believe, and yet I'm wondering what your opinion on, you know, Halloween and all this is.
Yeah. Say boo. Interesting.
Yes, okay. Isn't it cute?
Okay, well, you know that the origin of Halloween, I'm sure you're familiar with that, is All Hallows' Eve. You know how we say, mm-hmm. hallowed be thy name, because the name even comes from the holiness of the saints. It's the night before the Feast of All Saints' Day. And so a rebellious way to do that is to dress up like a saint. When they have to dress up to scare people, then we can dress up like a saint. And if people really are into evil, it would be pretty scary to see a saint there. But I think that the way, you know, back in the 70s and 80s is when Halloween got taken over, you know, by, you know, the Wiccans and the Satanists in such a way that it became so, you know, such an evil display of essentially celebrating evil.
Yeah.
But I believe that before then, when people did dress up as goblins and ghouls, it was because we as Catholics do believe, like you said, in the reality of evil, that we know that evil exists. And in earlier, you know, centuries, when they dressed up this way, it was to the day before All Saints Day to scare people from evil. And so you'd see that that was scary and those people are in hell, and you know that you do not want to go to hell. And so that's was my understanding, that you know, why people dressed up in scary costumes, to scare them from doing evil things and from going to hell. But when this got taken over again in like the 70s and 80s, that you know, of really scared, I mean, it made all our little kids scared, you know, kids
yeah.
that are sensitive. It scared others. I had to walk out of a mass one time on the night before All Saints Day, because literally the priest came out before the few minutes before mass started. And he had his chasuble on, but this horrible giant mask and stilts on. And my kids were so scared, we had to leave mass. And, you know, again, he was just thinking, you know, funny scared. But these kids are like 5 and 7 years old. That wasn't funny.
No,
you know.
It's not.
And so, so here I'm going to All Saints Mass and have to leave because he scares my kids. So, you know, the reclaiming of Halloween is a good thing, that so many Catholic schools now and so many Catholics now are dressing up as saints, having an All Saints party. Even the traditions of, you know, the bonfires, carving pumpkins and those kind of things have been Christianized, you know, throughout the years. But those occult aspects of Halloween, you know, the ghosts and the demons, you know, actually had their root in Catholic teachings, because they believed that for a while that there was that veil between, you know, purgatory and hell became more thin. We could see the evil, so it would motivate us to be, you know, to be saints, to become saints, so we could join those saints in heaven. So think if there's a way that you can transform that, Catholicize that, and scare people from evil, even dressing up like the devil. That would show them that the devil exists when it's time to dress up, and see if it would scare people to living a better life. So thanks for the call. It's a great concern of many families at this time. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on The Doctor Is In.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.